Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Round one of the basketball playoffs is here, and regardless of whether or not you're taking Boston, Miami, Milwaukee, or Minnesota to win the championship, BetOnline has you covered with all the odds, props, promos, and parlays you need for the entire two-month basketball playoffs. Use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, with your first deposit, with the link in the description to this episode, and you can pick up a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Good afternoon or good night, however and whenever you may be listening. Thank you for stopping on into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast, live on the Bleav Podcast Network. Except it isn't live because it is, as always, a podcast. Welcome, 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 everybody. I hope you are having a fantabulous day, however and whenever it is you may be listening. We are joining you on a fantabulous Monday, April 29th, 2024. It is Monday. It's the NBA playoffs. And over the years, we figured out after a 5-day stretch of playoff basketball, these Monday episodes are a great time to come in and talk about some playoff basketball. And that's exactly what we're going to do today on the show. We're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks coming up later on in the show. Obviously, they're an interesting team right now because they're duking it out with the Indiana Pacers in a series that just got a whole lot more interesting because now Dame Lillard and Giannis are out, and if Dame Lillard and Giannis had been playing, this would have been the NBA TV classic that everyone was not going to watch. But also, last year when we got to this Monday, which is after the Game 3s and Game 4s, the 76ers in the Brooklyn Nets series was already done. And if you remember last year, Brooklyn only got into the playoffs because Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving won them a bunch of games early in the season. And then they traded both those guys away, and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and what was supposed to be Ben Simmons were all playing for Brooklyn, and they still made it to the playoffs despite the fact that they were a below 500 team after the trades of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. And you saw this year, Brooklyn was like a 31-win team running back basically the exact same roster. They were not just a 31-win team, they were a 31-win team that fired their coach. So they were very much not a competitive team, and they got bounced, I think, before some teams even played Game 3 in their series. Like, I think they were the 10 a.m. on Saturday game that Cleveland and Orlando have occupied in every round of the playoffs so far, and I'm pretty sure they finished Game 4 of that series on that Saturday morning before some teams had even played Game 3. This year, that would have been the Indiana Pacers, if not for the fact that Damian Lillard injured his Achilles and they lost Game 3 in overtime. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on the show. It's kind of the bulk of what I wanted to talk about today. First of all, we got some eulogies that we can attend here on today's show because a smattering of teams are either already out of the playoffs or on the road to being eliminated from the playoffs. Most of them in the Western Conference, which, by the way, shout out to the top three seeds in the West, because, you know, all of them were legitimately good, but I was like, damn, you should want to play Minnesota, and everyone was discounting the Oklahoma City Thunder. But they all went up 3-0 in their series. They were like, yeah, we ain't fucking around. We are trying to get to the next round, and this round does not matter to us. It doesn't matter if we're playing Kevin Durant. Doesn't matter if we're playing LeBron. Doesn't matter if we're playing Zion Williamson and the Pelicans, who for most of the season were a 5 or a 6 seed and then fell down to the 8 at the end of the year because everyone got hurt. But like, hey, we are not messing around here. We are in this to win this, and they all took care of their first round series like it was nothing. Also in the Eastern Conference, no sweeps, no 3-0 leads in any of the series. That Cleveland-Orlando series has been super interesting, actually, which shout out to Orlando for coming out and putting the beat down on Cleveland in the second half of that game four on Saturday. We'll talk Pacers and Bucks later, and we already talked about the Sixers series on Wednesday. If you want a full breakdown of the Sixers series before Joel Embiid dropped 50 points in game three, recommend that you check out Wednesday's episode of the Take It Easy podcast. But eulogies for the three Western Conference teams that are either have been swept or about to get swept here. First and foremost, let me just say shout out to my Oklahoma City Thunder all the way through and through. I told you guys last year going into the playoffs that the number one seeded Denver Nuggets would not only win the Western Conference, they would go 12-3 in the first three rounds of the playoffs. And lo and behold, that is exactly what the Denver Nuggets did. 12-3 through the first three rounds of the playoffs. And I said, Oklahoma City is going to go to the Western Conference Finals. Number one seed in the West, believe the regular season sample size, Oklahoma City is going to the Western Conference Finals. It doesn't matter that they had 20 total games of playoff experience prior to the start of this year's playoffs. And by the way, I think nine of those were Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lugans Dort playing in the bubble. Or no, I guess that would be 14 of the 20. 14 of the 20. 70% of their entire playoff experience was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a rookie Lugans Dort playing for the Thunder in the bubble during that 2020 series against the Rockets that went seven games. Didn't matter that their entire rotation had 20 games of playoff experience in their entire careers. Didn't matter that Chet Holmgren was a de facto rookie because he missed all of last season. This team is going to the Western Conference Finals. And I told you, this team is going to the Western Conference Finals. And lo and behold, they came out and beat the crap out of the New Orleans Pelicans like we anticipated that they would. So shout out to you, Oklahoma City Thunder. I know that's a weird way to do a Pelicans eulogy is by talking about how right we were about the Thunder, but I'm telling you, Dallas is going to beat the Clippers in that series. It's going to be Dallas and Oklahoma City, and I feel very confident Oklahoma City is going to bounce Dallas out the playoffs in the first duel between Luka and SGA, who are the two guys who are going to be dueling it out for MVPs with Anthony Edwards over the coming 5 to 6 years. And again, I know it's weird that the Pelican eulogy was just me talking about the Thunder. The thing that I think is interesting about the Pelicans is this. New Orleans is built around two all-star players in their early 20s. I guess Brandon Ingram's kind of in his mid-20s now. But you got two guys in their 20s who are injury prone. And I just don't know what the deal is with the Pelicans because they have the depth. They still have a whole bunch of trade pieces. They still have Laker draft picks. They still have Bucks draft picks and pick swaps from the Jrue Holiday trade. They have so many pieces at their disposal. And they're a team that I look at and I'm like, at a certain point, push is going to come to shove where they're going to have to decide whether to keep Zion and Brandon Ingram together or if this is the ceiling of what the team is going to accomplish. And remember, they kind of floated out the trade possibilities of Zion last offseason. But the thing I would do if I were them is I would package some of those bonus picks that they have. A future pick swap with the Bucks, a future Lakers first rounder. I think this might be the last of the Lakers first rounders, but they can still package that draft pick this year. Take those draft picks, take CJ McCollum, and flip them for Donovan Mitchell. Even if you're only guaranteed 1 year of Donovan Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell is in this really interesting place where he got sent to Utah to begin his NBA career. He got sent to Cleveland in a trade at the teardown of the Utah Jazz. He has never made it to a conference finals. He's been bounced in the first round of the playoffs, I think, five times in his... He's been to the second round of the playoffs twice. He's been bounced in the first round four times, and if they lose this year, it'll be five times. And so Donovan Mitchell is coming up on free agency, weirdly, in year eight. I know it's weird because he's been around since his rookie year, as the focal point of the Utah Jazz offense, but he's coming into year eight. He's got 1 year left on his deal. It seems pretty clear that he's not going to re-sign with Cleveland, and Cleveland's got to decide whether they want to ride it out with one more year of Donovan Mitchell or get back some sort of return on their investment for when they traded Mitchell in the first place, which, by the way, in hindsight, doesn't look like that bad of a trade. Like, they gave up Lauri Markkanen, and Lauri Markkanen has been the number one on the Utah Jazz for a couple of seasons now. But the Jazz haven't won a lot of games with Markkanen as their number one, and quite frankly, Lauri Markkanen was damaged goods, and you can't convince me otherwise. We have the whole song, or the whole new Cleveland Cavaliers thing that we did a couple years ago, and you can't tell me Lauri Markkanen was not completely damaged goods when he was pulling up to Utah at the time. So honestly, like, trade didn't work out that great. Cleveland was never able to get a second all-star around Donovan Mitchell. And I know that Darius Garland did make an all-star team, and I know that Jared Allen did make the all-star team, and I know that Evan Mobley was a rookie of the year, but it never came together quickly enough in a way for the Cavs to be a top contender in the Eastern Conference. And granted, they're going to get a chance potentially to beat Orlando in this series and get to the second round of the playoffs, which I think will reflect a success for that team at this stage of the game. But if Donovan Mitchell is going to be out of there, and most NBA reporters are saying Donovan Mitchell trades are open for business, I think the Pelicans are uniquely positioned to package CJ McCollum and package those guys to make Donovan Mitchell your number three for one season. For one season, make Donovan Mitchell your number three scoring option and see what happens. Because Donovan Mitchell is a true, tried-and-true top 15 player in the league in a way that CJ McCollum has never been. And it would be really interesting to see Donovan Mitchell, who might be the best player on that team when he gets there, be their number three scoring option for just one season. And maybe you convince him to re-sign. But if I were the Pelicans, I would put together a one-year all-in trade package for Donovan Mitchell, see what you can do, and then kind of figure out the rest of the pieces from there. Are you tired or bored of your current NBA team? Have you recently lost a superstar and are now spending years stuck in a rebuild? Are you a Lakers fan who hopped on the bandwagon after the Russell Westbrook trade but are now tired of defending Anthony Davis on Twitter? If you or someone you know is experiencing perpetual mediocrity, then we have a new solution for you. Introducing the new Cleveland Cavaliers. We know it's now been 4 years since LeBron left, and the Cavaliers have had a really poor reputation. But with the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference, and while currently sitting 5 games over 500, the Cleveland Cavaliers are a perfect option for any new and adopting bandwagoners. Yes, for 20 years, the Cavaliers' strategy was to have the greatest players in the history of basketball be born in the general area of your city, but the Cleveland Cavaliers have pivoted in the last 4 years. We traded Kyrie Irving, who we got with the number one pick in the draft, and basically only got Colin Sexton in return. We then refused to sign Colin Sexton to his rookie extension, only for Sexton to then tear his meniscus in week one. The Cleveland Cavaliers signed Kevin Love to that 4-year, $120 million extension, and we still have refused to trade Kevin Love because we are loyal. We know we've drafted in the top 5 6 times in the last 10 seasons, but we've also had more success than 26 other NBA franchises in the last decade. When you join the new Cleveland Cavaliers, some of the perks involved are 3 fun, young rookie stars, the possibility of acquiring Ben Simmons, and no expectations for the 2021-2022 season. That's right, you get all the fun of a team that's allowed to talk shit on Twitter, and none of the expectations of actually winning a playoff series. Remember when we had John Beilein, and he was basically Urban Meyer before Urban Meyer? Neither do we, and we've moved on from this through a pandemic and multiple draft picks to create a new, young core of Darius Garland, Isaac Okoro, and Evan Mobley. For all of you who are big fans of NBA Twitter, we also have wonderful attractions such as Ricky Rubio, Chetty Osman,
and the legend, Taco Fall. That's right, Taco Fall plays for the Cavaliers. Bet you didn't know that. Lakers fans, how excited were you when you guys got Russell Westbrook? Well, if you join the new Cleveland Cavaliers in 7 months, you'll get that joy again when we inevitably trade Kevin Love and Colin Sexton to acquire Russell Westbrook in a move of pure desperation. But that's not all, folks. If you sign up in the next 48 hours, you will receive a new Cleveland Cavaliers swag bag, which includes a J.R. Smith tattoo t-shirt, LeBron James's old practice shorts from 2016's championship season, a copy of the Dan Gilbert letter that he sent out after LeBron James decided to join the Miami Heat, 2 complimentary tickets to a Detroit Pistons-Cleveland Cavaliers game worth $6, and Lauri Markkanen. So sign up today for the new and improved Cleveland Cavaliers. All signups for new Cleveland Cavaliers are binding through the 2022-2023 season. All signups must be confirmed before the inevitable New York Knicks play-in game in April. Side effects of new Cleveland Cavaliers include fever, chills, cold sweats, Ben Simmons trade rumors, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts or actions, diarrhea, constipation, a longing for LeBron James, and the inexplicable urge to acquire Harrison Barnes at the trade deadline. If you or someone you know experiences any of these symptoms, your doctor may prescribe Orlando Magic as an alternative for new Cleveland Cavaliers.
The other teams that got bounced out the playoffs are the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers aren't gone yet. Congratulations, you won Game 4. Which, by the way, Vegas was saying Lakers were going to win Game 4, and they did, in fact, win Game 4. There's not that much interesting I have to say about the Lakers. It's the exact same series as last year, with the Lakers running back the exact same team as last year. The only difference is that last year there was only like 2.5 good teams in the Western Conference, and the Lakers were like the 4th or 5th best team in the West last year, and they happened to beat Memphis, and they happened to beat Golden State, both teams who I'm sure had very good seasons the following year and were just as worthy of their seeds last year as they proved to be this year. I'm sure the Grizzlies were a tried and true 2 seed, and I'm sure the Warriors were a tried and true 6 seed last year, who won a first round series against Sacramento where they were not the better team. But the Lakers ran it back with the exact same team. They were about the 7th best team in the Western Conference, and they got beat up by the Denver Nuggets the same way they got beat up by the Denver Nuggets last year. And there's no shame in losing to the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets are, in fact, really, 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 really good and going to win the Western Conference for a second year in a row. There's no shame in losing to the champs. There's not really much interesting I have to say about the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell's going to leave at the end of the season. Spencer Dinwiddie's going to leave at the end of the season, and they can look up and have a whole bunch of roster decisions that they have to make over the coming year. We'll see what happens, probably more in the offseason. The team that I think is more interesting is Phoenix, because, look, when Phoenix traded for Bradley Beal and completely turned over that roster, it was entirely predictable, this result. And by this result, I mean guys alternating injuries throughout the regular season. They all come together around playoff time, and they get bounced in the first or second round. That was entirely predictable. Nobody was saying Phoenix was a championship caliber team when they made the trade for Bradley Beal. They were a better team by making the trade for Bradley Beal, but they were not a champion caliber team when they traded for Bradley Beal. A first exit as a lower seeded team was an entirely predictable result. However, damn Phoenix, I thought y'all were going to put up a better fight against Minnesota. Like, Minnesota was the team that you wanted to face in the first round of any of the three between, because we kind of knew Mavericks and Clippers was already going to be a series, and it seems like the Clippers are kind of falling apart at the seam, and Kawhi has been out for 2 games, but for some weird reason, they're winning the games that Kawhi has been out. And, you know, we knew it was going to be Mavericks Clippers 5-4. So for all the teams in that 6-10 mix, the Suns, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Kings, the Warriors, of your first round playoff matchups, the team you were hunting was Minnesota. Minnesota was the team that you wanted to play in the first round of the playoffs. Yes, Minnesota plays incredible defense, but their offense had been incredibly inefficient throughout the season, factoring in that Karl Anthony Towns, their number two scoring option, was out with an injury. And what Minnesota has proven is that not only are they capable of playing incredibly good defense, they can also score with the best in the league. I think they had five different players who had 15 or more points in that game three rout of Phoenix. Minnesota has an average margin of victory of 18 points in the first three games of the series. Jaden McDaniels is playing lockdown defense on Kevin Durant, something that we didn't think was possible 5 years ago because it wasn't possible 5 years ago. But what happens now is the aging process of Kevin Durant occurs in real time. He's not going to shoot at the levels that he did when he was 24, 25, 26. And look, Kevin Durant had a major reconstructive surgery on his Achilles 4 years ago. It was remarkable what he pulled off in 2021 with the Brooklyn Nets during that playoff run, where if he had a slightly smaller size shoe, Brooklyn might have gone on to win the NBA championship in 2021. That dude is 35 years old, and they are still making him the number one in that offense, despite the fact that Devin Booker should be far and away the number one scoring option for the Phoenix Suns. And Devin Booker in this series is averaging, if my math is correct, he is averaging a neat little 21 points per game, 20.3 points per game in this series. He is averaging just over 20 points per game in this series on under 45% shooting from the field. And look, Devin Booker is, we've talked about this before with the generation that just passed, this generation that we have spent the last 4 to 5 years covering. And this is going to lead me into what I wanted to talk about with the Milwaukee Bucks, because the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks are both on incredibly similar timelines. And the reason those two are on incredibly similar timelines is that they have two of the five best basketball players in the world to be selected in the years between 2013 and 2017. Players drafted in the roughly five NBA drafts between 2013 and 2017. The Bucks and Suns had two of the five best players. Or I should say 2012 to 2016, let's call it, because I'm throwing Anthony Davis in this group. So in the drafts from 2012 to 2016, the 5 years in those five drafts, players who are all roughly right now between the ages of 28 and 32, you know, ballpark somewhere between 28 and 32 years old. They got two, the Bucks got one of the five, the Suns got one of the five. The five best players drafted in those five draft classes were Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Anthony Davis, and Devin Booker. Those are your five generational stars, if there ever were such a word. And what's so interesting about this current iteration of the Suns is that 3 years ago, Devin Booker was the best player on a team that came within two games of winning an NBA championship. We don't talk about Devin Booker in that same class of great player, but Devin Booker was the best player on a team that came within two games of winning an NBA championship. And in the 3 years since, the Phoenix Suns have completely turned over their roster, going all in around Devin Booker. When they went to the championship in 2021, they had gotten a nice deal for Chris Paul. They essentially gave up Kelly Oubre and a first-round pick, and then Oklahoma City flipped Kelly Oubre to the Warriors for another first-round pick. So they basically gave up two first-round picks to acquire Chris Paul, which at the time was a really good deal given the production that they got out of Chris Paul in that first 2021 season. By the time 2022 rolled around, wasn't quite as good of a deal. And then by the time 2023 came around, I mean, Chris Paul was a liability out there. for the Phoenix Suns, but they had to give him that contract extension because he was the best they could get as a running mate to Devin Booker, who is a fellow Hall of Famer of two generations before Devin Booker, but still a Hall of Famer putting up Hall of Fame caliber numbers. And so Phoenix, over the last 3 years, completely turned over their roster, spent all of their available money, spent all of their draft capital acquiring these two stars, i.e. Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. They flipped DeAndre Ayton for Yusuf Nurkic. They brought in Grayson Allen as a complimentary piece. And 3 years later, here's the results they have to show for it. 2022, number one seed in the Western Conference regular season. 2022, the 2022 regular season, the year after they went to the championship, Phoenix got the number one seed in the Western Conference. They lost in the second round against Luka Doncic, Jalen Brunson, and the Dallas Mavericks. 2023, they get the number three seed in the Western Conference. No, sorry, they get the number four seed in the Western Conference. They beat the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round, get swept in the second round against the Denver Nuggets, the team who goes on to eventually win the championship. This year, they get the number six seed in the Western Conference. They lose in the first round to the Minnesota Timberwolves. All of the all-in trades, all of the all-in moves, spending all the money, spending all the draft capital, doing the moves that they made, was all to ward off the inevitable, which is that Devin Booker just got older and Devin Booker just got hurt more. And it was an inevitable decline from the top instead of building off of what they had in 2021. Because Devin Booker being their best player came together perfectly in 2021 and has just been a steady decline ever since. It wasn't like they had this huge drop-off or anything like that. You just look up 3 years later and it's like, yeah, they steadily declined until they fell to the back of the pack, and now Devin Booker is exiting his prime. And I know Devin Booker's only 27, about to turn 28 years old, but remember, Devin Booker was the youngest player in the NBA when he was drafted back in 2015. Additionally, Devin Booker is now entering year 10 in the NBA, and year 10 is that point where your health is no longer guaranteed year over year. And we're already talking about a player in Devin Booker who's had questions with health throughout his career. And so this is the point where the Phoenix Suns do not have Devin Booker as a number one who can lead you to a championship team. It was questionable whether he was that way in that category beforehand. But now we're getting the validation that Devin Booker's time has come and gone in terms of being one of the five best players in the league who is competing for MVPs and has a puncher's chance of being the best player on a team that wins a championship. And it wasn't like anything went wrong. It wasn't like they made bad decisions here or there. The Bradley Beal trade ultimately will reflect poorly upon Ishbia, but if they don't, it's not like the Bradley Beal trade is the reason why they're getting bounced in the first round this year. They were going to get bounced in the first round no matter whether they traded for Bradley Beal or didn't trade for Bradley Beal. And a large reason for that is Devin Booker, who in that 2023 playoffs last year had a legitimate case for in the first two rounds of the playoffs. Because I'm sorry, they didn't get swept by the Nuggets. They lost in six games to the Nuggets. And if you'll remember, last year in the playoffs, Devin Booker single-handedly carried the Phoenix Suns with Kevin Durant playing, was the best player in the NBA playoffs in that first round against the Clippers and in that second round against the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic had a 40-point triple-double in a game where the Denver Nuggets shot 52% as a team from the field, and it was not good enough to beat Devin Booker. Devin Booker had, I want to say, 79 points in a two-game stretch when Phoenix won those two games at home against Denver. Ultimately, they lost the series, and in Game 6, it was a total cluster because DeAndre Ayton didn't want to go back on the floor, and Monty Williams was complaining and bemoaning what was happening, and that was kind of the end of that run for Phoenix, right? They get rid of Chris Paul, they get rid of DeAndre Ayton. That was the end of that group in Phoenix. But if you had kept Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and DeAndre Ayton together and let them grow and develop, I don't know if anyone heard the clip that Nikola Jokic was talking about, where Jokic was saying how it took him like 3 years of playing consistently with this team to get himself in a position to learn their tendencies, learn how to play together, things along those lines. And it was a really insightful comment that Jokic made. And even if Phoenix had given Bridges and Cam Johnson and DeAndre Ayton the room to grow with each other, and maybe they trade for Bradley Beal instead or something along those lines, I don't think that would have changed the fact that Devin Booker could not be singularly great player for extensive stretches at a time. And again, there's no shame in losing to Denver last year. Again, you went six games. They gave the defending champs the best run of any team in the playoffs last year. They went six games with a Denver team that lost four games in the entire playoffs. Like, the Suns got two games on Denver in a way that every other team in the West and East who played them in the other three series got two total games on Denver. It was a terrific, terrific run by Devin Booker in spurts, but they did not have enough to win those series. And again, it was just a steady, progressive decline for the Suns as Devin Booker now exits his physical prime and his window of being a top five or even top 10 player in the NBA. And again, they didn't do anything wrong necessarily. It was just a steady decline over the last 3 years. They were the number one seed in the West in 22. They lost in a game seven in the second round against Dallas, which was a disappointment. That was the thing that you could point to and say that was where their best chance to win a championship went awry. Because they would have gone to the Western Conference Final, they probably would have beat the Warriors, and they would have had a puncher's chance of going back to the finals where they would have played Boston, and I'd argue playing that 2022 Boston team gave them a better chance of winning the championship than even 2021 when the Suns were up 2-0 on the Milwaukee Bucks. But back to the original point, and I apologize for messing up the timeline earlier. Number one seed in the Western Conference 2022 regular season. Lose in the second round in seven games in 2022 playoffs. Number four seed in the Western Conference in 2023 after making the midseason trade for Kevin Durant. Lose in the second round of the playoffs in six games against the Denver Nuggets, the team who eventually goes on to win the championship. And by the way, was the second best team in the Western Conference that year because, again, they were better than the Lakers and were better than the Warriors had both those teams gotten to had the playoffs broken down differently, they would have been the Western Conference Finals against Denver. They were the second best team in the West last year. And then this year, sixth seed, bounced in the first round by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Devin Booker has an unremarkable postseason. And you see the steady decline bit by bit. A great playoff run from Devin Booker, like what he had in 21, like what he had in 23 in spurts, is not guaranteed at this stage of the game for the Suns, and they don't have much recourse for improvement. This is the team that they have. It is Booker, it is Durant, it is Beal, it is Grayson Allen. Maybe they can move Nurkic around, but they have to hope for good health. That's where the Suns are at this point, is hoping for better health next season with potentially a new coach in place of Frank Vogel. That's just where the steady decline comes in, and now you look up and Devin Booker's best chance to win a championship, which was in 21 and 22 with that core that they had together of him, Bridges, Johnson, Chris Paul. Chris Paul being the super, the young core of Booker, Bridges, Cam Johnson, DeAndre Ayton, and then Chris Paul coming in as the mercenary for two seasons. as a Hall of Famer, two generations removed from his prime, but still a hugely effective player. That was their best chance to win. They came within two games of winning in 21, never got back to being that close, as you saw the steady decline in real time of that team from their peak, which would I would argue was in 2022. And speaking of teams that peaked in 2022 and have had a steady decline ever since, we finally made it to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks are probably still going to beat the Pacers. Would have been up 3-0 on the Pacers if not for Damian Lillard getting hurt in the fourth quarter and them dropping an overtime game three against the Pacers. Although I am old enough now to remember what happened in 2019, which was when the Milwaukee Bucks went up 2-0 on the Toronto Raptors. The Toronto Raptors won a game three in double overtime, and they went on to win four consecutive games in that series. So, hey, no guarantees about what comes next for the old Milwaukee Bucks. But I want to talk about Milwaukee because Milwaukee just reminds me so much of last year's Phoenix team. And what I mean by that is they're the second best team in the Eastern Conference behind a juggernaut Boston Celtic team that is ultimately going to probably, without question, win. They have a better chance of winning the Eastern Conference than any team that has gone through the East since probably the 2017 Cavaliers. Like, this is the best Eastern Conference team in about 7 to 8 years based on regular season record and net rating and all those nerd stats and things like that. Like, since LeBron was running the Eastern Conference for 8 years in a row, this is the best team that has come through the Eastern Conference. And remember, Eastern Conference teams have won NBA championships. And this Boston team is still that much better than all the rest. But after Boston, who's all the way up here and everyone presumes is going to win the Eastern Conference, then you got Milwaukee. A healthy Milwaukee team this year would be second best in the East, just like last year's Suns team was the second best in the West, and they still lost in six games against the Denver Nuggets. And look, no disrespect to the New York Knicks. Absolutely, I understand the New York Knicks are also very good. And the New York Knicks will probably end up in the Eastern Conference Finals in a world where Giannis and Dame are both injured for the Milwaukee Bucks. But I say all of this to say, we have talked for years and years and years and years. One of the things that we have said the most in the history of this podcast is, the Milwaukee Bucks championship window opened in 2019 when Giannis was in his sixth year in the league, and was 24 years old. And that was 6 years ago. 6 years ago, the Milwaukee Bucks championship window opened. And you know what they did in the time since in a salary cap sport? They spent all of their money to re-sign Chris Middleton. They spent a bunch of their draft capital to acquire Drew Holiday in exchange for Eric Bledsoe and future draft picks. And they won an NBA championship with Giannis Antetokounmpo as the best player in the world. And in 2022, the following year, they were just as good as the 21 team. Chris Middleton got hurt. They went to seven games against the Boston Celtics and lost a game seven against Boston, the eventual Eastern Conference champions. That year it was Milwaukee and Boston were the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee didn't have Chris Middleton, who at the time was their second best player, and they lost in seven games, despite the fact that Giannis had more points in a seven-game series than any player in any seven-game series up to that point in the last 20 years of NBA basketball. Like, Giannis absolutely crushed that 2022 series for the Bucks. And then you know what they did at the end of the run? They lost in the first round of the playoffs as the number one seed. Embarrassing loss. Even if they had won that series against Miami, probably wouldn't have gone to the finals. But lost to the eventual Eastern Conference champions, Miami. This is now three of four seasons where they lose to the eventual Eastern Conference champions, either Miami or Boston. You know, 2020, they lost to Miami. Miami went on to win the East. 22, they lost to Boston. Boston went on to win the East. 23, they lose to Miami. Miami goes on to win the East. And they made one last all-in move at the end of their championship window to acquire Damian Lillard in exchange for Jrue Holiday. And they gave up some draft picks and they gave up Grayson Allen. But the bulk of the trade was a straight-up Damian Lillard for Jrue Holiday swap. And the straight-up Damian Lillard for Jrue Holiday swap ended up playing out as well as it could have, because it could not have stopped the inevitability that Giannis is no longer the best player in the NBA, and by virtue of him no longer being the best player in the NBA, there's no guarantee that you're going to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. And so now, for the second year in a row, Giannis is missing time in a first-round playoff series, although I will once again reiterate, last year, Giannis could have played all five games of that series and they still would have lost in five games to the Miami Heat. But second year in a row, Giannis misses time in the first round of the playoffs and it derails the Milwaukee Bucks postseason. And same thing I said before with Devin Booker. Same thing we said before with all these guys who of the five who were the best players of this era, being Giannis, Jokic, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, and Joel Embiid. We can say it for four of these guys. You're no longer guaranteed health. I mean, hell, even with Jokic, Jokic is younger than most people realize, but hell, even with Jokic, you can't guarantee health because he's going into year nine now, and he's never had a major injury, but at a certain point, you look up and you're like, yes, you cannot guarantee the health of Nikola Jokic from this point going forward. And the thing that I think is so interesting about it from the Milwaukee standpoint is that even Giannis, even the two-time MVP, even the Defensive Player of the Year, probably, for my money, the best player of his era, but it's him and Jokic, Embiid's a nice third, but it's between him and Jokic for who you think is the best player of their era. Even Giannis succumbed to the fata cum laude of, hey man, you got old and a little bit hurt. And I don't mean old in the pejorative sense. I mean old in the you're not in your physical prime anymore. And the 5 to 6 year window has passed and we can look back and reevaluate how they succeeded or how they came up short. I mean, by results, it's hard to not argue that despite the fact that they're the only Eastern Conference team to win a championship in the last, well, I guess them and Toronto are the only Eastern Conference teams to win a championship in the last 8 years. I think you could argue like the sum of the parts, Boston and Miami had a more successful run than Milwaukee. It's an interesting conversation to have because Milwaukee obviously has the championship, but they also have a whole lot of losses against Boston and Miami in a way that Miami and Boston don't have against Milwaukee. I mean, yes, Miami did lose to Milwaukee in 2021, so they did get that chip against them, but also Miami has the we were an 8 seed and knocked off a 1 seed thing. It's very interesting when you stop and talk about who had the most success between Milwaukee, Miami, and Boston over the last 5 to 6 years. But that's a conversation for another day. The part that I think is so interesting about the standing of the Milwaukee Bucks is all the trades, all the navigating the salary cap, trying to put this thing together, navigating the last 2 years, which is how do we move Chris Middleton from being a number two to a number three scoring option late in his career while also still supplementing Giannis with enough skill to be able to compete for championships with the Bostons and the Miamis and to a certain extent the Philadelphias, although Philadelphia and Miami have, I believe, never played a playoff series up to this point. It's kind of remarkable that they have never crossed paths at any point of this run that they've had with each other. It's just kind of a weird, quirky thing that Embiid and Giannis have never played a playoff series against each other. But when you look at the sum of the parts and you look at how they've navigated it, ultimately it was trying to stave off the inevitability of, like, in a salary cap sport, what's going to happen when Giannis is no longer the number one player in the NBA like he was in 2021 and 2022. And now you look up and they're about to get bounced potentially in the first round of the playoffs for the second year in a row, despite the fact that they held a number one and number three seed in the conference. And I'm just curious to see what direction they go to next as the window closes for Giannis, as the window closes for Devin Booker, as the window closes for Anthony Davis, and as the window closes for Joel Embiid. For all of these guys, it's so interesting to see what they do next as they try to stay relevant as the generations change, as Tatum is now the front runner for a championship, as you have Luka and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are about to play a first-round playoff series against each other, as Jalen Brunson comes out here and drops 45 points on the Philadelphia 76ers on their home floor to knock Joel Embiid and company out of the playoffs. Like, you start to figure out, like, the new generation is arriving in real time. This is the buffer season. This is the transition period between the Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker generation into what is going to be the Luka, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson generation of stars competing for MVPs and things of those sorts, with Tatum and the Celtics kind of being that buffer in the same way that Kawhi and the Toronto Raptors were a buffer between the LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant years into the Giannis, Embiid, Jokic, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker years. The buffer period in between was Kawhi Leonard winning a championship with Toronto. The buffer period for this next generation is going to be Boston. The question is just whether or not Boston gets past Denver to win a championship, or whether Boston becomes one of those best teams to never win a championship, just like James Harden and the Houston Rockets were in that transition period between Steph, KD, and LeBron into Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker generation of stars. It's interesting to watch that transition happen in real time, and it sucks to watch that transition happen in real time while Dame and Giannis, specifically Giannis, can't even be participants in trying to stave off the young people or trying to stave off the Tatum Celtics to try and keep their window going. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping in here to the Take It Easy podcast. We have episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday here on the show. We have an NFL draft live show from last week. You guys can check out a whole big podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers that you guys can check out, and all sorts of fun reactions to the NBA playoffs, college basketball, and more. Just go through our old database of episodes. See if you find something you like. Most of them age relatively well. We will talk to you again on Wednesday. And in the meantime, take it easy.